Please be seated. Why do you imagine were Christians persecuted in the early days of the church? Maybe some of you didn't realize that this happened. Christians were imprisoned, even killed, by the Roman authorities back when people like Paul and Timothy were traveling the world preaching the gospel. Why do you suppose that the authorities would want to kill them? Some people just say, well, the Romans were just sinful unbelievers. They hated Christians because Christians refused to go along with their pagan religion. In other words, the 95% of the Roman world that didn't believe in God was evil, just evil. Well, that seems unlikely that many people were just evil. In our day, we have people who want to kill Americans, and our leaders tell us they just hate Americans and they're evil. Or another one I've heard is that they hate our freedom. So how is it that people so often decide that somebody with whom they disagree should suffer or die? And what makes what we're doing good and what someone else is doing, perhaps our enemies, bad or evil? When people's worldviews are not compatible and come into conflict, both sides always believe that they are in the right. And being human, very often we use violence to settle our disagreements. I find it interesting that so many of us talk about ourselves as being peaceful, and yet a great many people bleed when we disagree with one another. In the New Testament, we often see Jesus or the apostles in conflict with the culture of the day. Back then, they didn't distinguish between sacred and secular realms, or church and state, we would call it, so to speak, as we do. So to be in conflict with the civil authorities was also a religious disagreement, and vice versa. Simply put, Jesus was simultaneously a faithful, observant Jew, and also a revolutionary guilty in the eyes of both the Jewish and Roman authorities of criminal beliefs and actions. And the apostles were simultaneously faithful followers of Jesus, Christians, and also residents of the Roman Empire, where their beliefs put them at odds with the authorities. Christian faith makes demands of us that can put us at odds with the culture and even the authorities around us. And this can be hard for believers because there are a lot of things back then and now that we like about the culture we live in. The Romans didn't just conquer places. What we know from history and archaeology is that after Rome conquered people with their armies, they continued the conquest with their culture. They built civic buildings and temples. They built public baths, amphitheaters, arenas for games. They built roads. They brought new commerce to the area. Typically, a place was economically better off after the Roman Empire conquered it than it was before. In other words, they did a lot of good things, and all they asked in return was that the people that they had conquered follow Roman law and obey the emperor and his deputies. In spite of the good things that the Roman Empire brought to its citizens and residents, Christians didn't fit comfortably into that world. And Romans didn't persecute them because Rome thought of itself as an evil empire and hated the good Christians and Jews. Roman authorities persecuted Christians because they wouldn't say that the emperor was a god. They wouldn't obey Roman law over God's law. According to the Roman way, Christians were dangerous fanatics who threatened the power of the emperor. And whenever the emperor needed a convenient scapegoat or felt threatened by Christians, he would torment or kill them. Because the Christians, from the perspective of the pagan Romans, were the bad guys. Romans didn't hate Christian beliefs for any reason other than that they, rightly or wrongly, feared that Christians would cause disorder and undermine the empire. They thought it was ludicrous, furthermore, that Christians believed that Jesus was the King of all kings and Lord of the entire cosmos, when rank-and-file Roman soldiers had nailed him to a wooden cross and killed him. Why would anyone follow that man? But for Christians, the fact that the Romans singled them out for persecution because of their beliefs meant that they were getting their faith right. It meant that they were actually living as Christians. You may have heard the old saw, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to find you guilty? St. Paul was imprisoned, tradition and scripture tell us, as many as 7 times by the Roman authorities for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he refused to renounce Jesus. He refused to go along to get along. Paul wrote to Timothy, his fellow preacher and apostle, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal." And he wasn't speaking figuratively. He wasn't, like many of us, feeling persecuted because people disagreed with him. He was actually chained and in jail multiple times during his ministry, and he was actually beaten and tortured. And in spite of that experience, he said to Timothy, "But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Well, this is the good news of Jesus Christ that is such bad news to those in power. Jesus Christ is the king, over and above the emperor, over and above the president of the United States, over and above the premier of China, and the rulers of every nation everywhere. Jesus is Lord over every power in the world that still defies God's law and the love of Jesus Christ. So for us, in a very real sense, the way we know whether we're on the right side of a disagreement is we ask ourselves where Jesus would stand, and then we walk over there and join him, even if it means we have to admit we were wrong. Because Jesus was his king, Paul refused to bow down or to shut up. And there are those among us who imagine that they're persecuted for the sake of the gospel in our day, but most of the time they're not. Being teased online for being a Christian isn't persecution. It's not persecution if you can shut your laptop. Having to treat gays and lesbians or people of different political and religious beliefs or people who don't believe in God at all the same as other citizens isn't being persecuted. It's just feeling uncomfortable. And really, our beliefs are supposed to make us feel uncomfortable. If I'm always comfortable with my faith, the chances are that I've made peace with Caesar instead of serving Jesus. We don't have Rome persecuting us to help us gauge how successful we are in living out the gospel. So we have to be thoughtful as we live out our faith. We have to watch ourselves and see how closely our thoughts and reactions to what's going on around us mirror the teachings of Jesus. And just as Jesus taught when he told us to ignore the speck in our neighbor's eye and instead focus on the log in our own eye, we have to begin first by focusing on our own shortcomings rather than the shortcomings of those around us. That way we're less likely to alienate the very people we're trying to love. That's what this is all about, right? The church exists to bring this love of Christ that we share, this gospel, to those who haven't heard it or experienced it. Paul put it like this: "If we have died with Jesus, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Jesus is always Jesus, and Jesus is always on the right side. It's hard to be certain whether our actions and beliefs are righteous, particularly if we're not looking to Jesus for guidance. What makes one side right, one person right, and the other wrong? For the people who haven't heard the gospel, that's a matter of power. The more powerful side wins. Power makes people think they're right. We've all seen that. Power makes people feel certain and hides doubts. But we serve Jesus, and Jesus expects us to think differently about the world than the culture around us does. We're the fools who follow the crucified king. And that's uncomfortable in this culture. So for the sake of the gospel, we ought to be uncomfortable not only with the world outside of ourselves, but even more importantly, within ourselves. We ought to be uncomfortable when we secretly fear or dislike people who are different than us. We ought to be uncomfortable when we condemn the poor for their poverty and refugees for having lost their homes to violence. We ought to be uncomfortable if we're spending thousands a month on cars or cable, cell phones, dining out, and only a pittance on God's mission to proclaim and live the gospel, because our discomfort can tell us the truth about ourselves. Our discomfort can push us in the right direction. If I'm feeling defensive about something, it might be a sign that I'm wrong about how I've believed or acted. I might need to look at the Bible or at my fellow believers, or both, for insight about choices I'm making. My discomfort could very well be the Lord himself reaching into my soul to let me know that things need to be different in me so that I can be a person who makes a difference in the world. Amen.